right. Welcome back to Alphabet Scoop. This is episode 21, I believe. And I'm your host, Stephen Hall. And I'm joined, as usual, by my colleague, Abner Lee. How's it going, man?
Hey, good.
Pretty busy, crazy, insane week this week, huh?
It did not start out that way.
No, it was pretty slow at first, but man, that's like, I kind of expected this a little bit because I had a hunch that some of the so the guy who was trying to sell Google Pixel 3 XLs on the black market, we first saw, you know, him offering those. We got offered them. I'm sure a lot of the guys over at various Android blogs were offered them. I know XDA was offered them. There was a YouTuber who published a video with like all caps, like YouTube clickbait, like I got offered a Pixel 3 XL for $2,000 or something. So it wasn't really news that it was happening. But anyways, I was kind of expecting to see some leaks to see the extent of the leaks that we've seen, because I had a hunch that he was legit and then he was actually selling real phones. Because I mean, one obvious thing that gave it away was that he did sell one, like initially to that one guy who published the first like unboxing video.
Yeah,
it's like earlier this month. One of his videos. Yeah, and he
on leaked, Telegram.
All right, on Telegram, and then he leaked back to he linked back to that seller. So I'm not sure. I'm actually wondering, like, maybe the seller made like a deal with him, like, I'll sell it to you first if you like publicize me or something crazy under the in the background.
Jumping out of chronology, but one of the leaks this week was from a Russian news site called Mobile Review, and according to them, they were given their device free of charge by an anonymous well-wisher, is the translation that Google Translate provided. And
that would be convenient, wouldn't it?
It would be convenient. Anonymous well-wisher.
Yes. We need an anonymous well-wisher. I mean, I guess possession of stolen property is still very much illegal in the United States, so I still probably wouldn't be able to publish anything without having the police knock on the door or something. But anonymous well-wisher is very convenient for the publication to have a well-wisher sending them an unreleased smartphone that's being sold on the black market right now for $2,000.
So, hey, that's
a very, very well-wisher.
So, did you mention the locations in your piece of... I'm bringing up your post that first detailed this Ukrainian black market seller.
Yeah, so I got a little bit of pushback when I first published it because a lot of this was public knowledge, I guess. And by public, I mean like people who are in the Android Google blogging space were aware that it was happening and this guy was trying to offer 3 XLs for $2,000. But my piece was primarily, I guess the angle on the story that I was publishing was that I confirmed independently, and I guess that's all I can say without putting some people potentially in legal jeopardy. I'm trying to be super careful there because I don't want to get too involved in this. But the story was like, not only is, you know, this guy offering phones, but he is in fact selling them, and that he had multiple. So one guy. So I guess I'll just say this. One of our readers sent some screenshots to us of conversation they're having with the dealer, and they wanted to purchase, or they were just, obviously they weren't actually interested in purchasing phones. They just wanted to, see what was, get as much information as they could without, you know, actually buying one. And they asked to buy 10, and the dealer was like, yeah, sure, we can make that happen. No problem. And he's like, I can even offer you a discount off the $2,000 price point.
A discount on $2,000. That's very generous.
Right. So if you're willing to buy 10, he's going to knock it down to, $1,800 or something like that. But yeah, we not only, you know, that was pretty well known. A lot of these details, like there was apparently being, you know, he was willing to ship. They were being picked up in London. As far as I can tell, this guy, the seller, is based in the Ukraine or has a Ukraine warehouse or something. So I don't really know much in terms of location other than those details. But I guess the further confirmation that we were publishing was we learned from people that are engaged in this activity to some extent that they are actually selling the phones, and that these leaks, these various Russian publications that you mentioned, are actually at least some of them, I would guess personally all of them, but at least some of them have obtained their Pixel 3 XL from this exact dealer on Telegram. So that's basically the story with that.
Okay, so just to briefly go into this, what it seems happened was that a shipment of Pixel 3 XLs, of prototype units or whatever, meant for Googlers got stolen, got lost, or however you want to call it, and it ended up in the hands of this Ukrainian black market fellow. So that's like how this is happening at the high level.
Yeah, we don't really know exactly how these phones ended up in this Ukrainian dealer's hands. Mm-hmm. But we do know that this Ukrainian dealer was also selling some fairly legitimate goods, or possibly legitimate goods. I guess the 3XLs we can assume were either stolen or somehow misshipped. But he was also selling some Pixel 2 XLs, which, as far as we know, could be completely completely kosher.
A pallet of Pixel 2 XLs.
Yeah. One interesting thing, a Reddit commenter on the submission on our Android for my post actually mentioned that they had worked for Apple or something, or knew someone who worked for Apple, and someone had redirected an entire pallet of some kind of Apple hardware away from Foxconn to the Ukraine or some European country, and just disappeared off the map. So like they were an Apple employee, and they just redirected the shipment and apparently cashed out. Maybe made $1 million, or I don't know how. We don't know exactly the details. And we don't even know if that happened. But that's theoretically possible scenario where, you know, someone at Foxconn got offered a deal to somehow redirect a shipment and took it and maybe disappeared from the planet. We don't know, but it would be really cool if we could someday learn the real story behind this, because we did hear from a tipster, somewhat related, was that I guess this isn't surprising information, but we were told this, that the last 48 hours, and by last 48 hours, I mean earlier this week, were pretty crazy internally, and that the security and the legal teams at Google were definitely involved. And also, I guess the interesting aspect is that that Foxconn was also involved in the internal discussion. So this maybe involves something crazy happening with Foxconn too. So I don't know. It's crazy. It's craziness. I guess looking at the bigger picture is, I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this happen with a company that's as high pedigree as Google is. I've never heard of an entire pallet of iPhones being redirected a month and a half before announcement and being sold on the black market for three times the price or double the price. So this is kind of unprecedented and crazy. Indeed. From that regard. I mean, I guess the conversation of in terms of how leaky this is it more or less leaky than Gizmodo's iPhone 4 scoop, which, for those who don't remember, was a Gizmodo editor. Someone had found an iPhone 4 at a bar and offered to sell it to Gizmodo, and a Gizmodo editor, and they bought it and published it. And I don't think they got indicted for that. I don't know if it was ever, I don't know if there's ever any legal action that happened there. But yeah, is this more or less crazy than that? I'm on the side of more. What do you think?
Absolutely more, because it seemed like Apple was able to shut down an iPhone 4 immediately. And in this case, which is moving on to our next topic, everything got leaked. Fully operational, hundreds of screenshots at this point. camera samples, hands-on posts that borderline reviews a month and maybe even 2 months before these things would actually ship to people. It's unprecedented. We know everything.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that. I guess some things we may not know, and I guess that's the conversation. Now that, you know, the whole leak cycle is like us trying to talk about things we don't know yet and try to uncover as much as we can. And every little tidbit is fun to talk about. But, you know, as you know, if you've been listening to Alphabet Scoop for the last 3 months, we've pretty much had Pixel 3 XL on the lineup of the conversation every single week. But now the conversation is shifting to what do we not know? Because like you said, we know pretty much everything. We've known what the hardware will look like for months, you know, with its chin and notch and its build. I guess we don't know exactly. We still don't really know. One thing that's interesting, we still don't really know what the material is on the back. That Russian review said that it was plastic, which is absolutely, absolutely not the case. If you ask me,
I think it's going to end up being plastic.
I don't. I mean, it depends. What do you define plastic? I think it's absolutely a metal body. I don't know. It could. So one of the possibilities is so like Pixel 2 XL was a metal body with this plasticky coating, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. What if they do a glass body with? And what if they found out some way to bind? I guess the problem with these materials is that sometimes it's hard to bind plastic or bind a coating to a glass. And so, but I mean, I think that seems more likely to me that they found a way to bind this kind of plastic material they had last year to the glass so that they can do wireless charging. Because we know it has wireless charging now, which is new. That's this week, yeah. You know, so it can't be metal. It can't be a metal body.
No.
So it has to be glass with a covering, okay. Or it has to be plastic so with a. I don't know. What do you think?
This is a 2XL. So if you've seen the pictures, you know how there's a glass, the usual glass shade is still there. But it appears that the glass extends all the way to, it rings the entire frame of the back plate, which I think looks very beautiful and makes an interesting design decision. So what if it were a full glass body versus plastic, as this seems to be the case, why would there be a... Why would they separate the shade? I know it's distinctive, but you can, in these pictures, you definitely see it appears to be two different materials. So I don't know why they wouldn't just continue. You just make it all a glass shade. Why bother for physical separation?
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good point. I don't really know. I think, I don't know. I think that it's got to be... my instinct against glass or against plastic, I guess, is that plastic is not associated with $1,000 phones, and
unless it's not $1,000,
right? I guess
because
that's
my personal theory is that's how you bring down the price of the 3XL. Maybe go back to an 840, 649 for the small one, and maybe go back to $100 difference for the big one. I think that would be. Because if from what we're hearing, the Pixels aren't selling blockbusters yet, and tweaking the price is a very valid thing for Google to experiment for a generation to see whether people want the price cut or whether they want the premium materials.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can look at a little bit of Google's hardware history to get an idea of that, because, you know, the Nexus phones, for instance, have varied in price from... it's seeming like Google is kind of subsidizing the price to make it super cheap for developers to get their hands on those phones. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact phones, but I know that happened. Maybe you have some insight there, but some of the phones definitely seemed on the cheaper end for the hardware. I think the Nexus 5, if I remember correctly, was very affordable for the hardware of the time. Mm-hmm. And then the Nexus 5X, which... you know, came out 2 years later, and the Nexus 6P, those were on the, you know, on the consumer end of the pricing spectrum. And it seemed like Google was subsidizing those prices at all. And I guess subsidizing might not be the right word, but, mm-hmm. You're right. We do have historical context for Google, trying various price points for the same level or pedigree, so to speak, of hardware. Mm-hmm. But to me, that seems an odd move for the Pixel line because
premium. Yeah, I agree.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think whether Google likes it or not, moving the price down is kind of an admission of failures, so to speak. I think it's kind of an admission of already, you know, we're only on the third generation. Google really seemed to want to take on the iPhone and the Samsung, you know, flagships with pricing.
Fair,
and if the third generation's here and we suddenly see them, you know, I don't know. Maybe it could be a matter of, you know, either it's this or nothing kind of situation. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I think the pricing, like, and selling more and moving units at the end of the day is what's super important to them, because people want the big phone. They don't want to pay premium pricing for it. If we're assuming the sales numbers, the unofficial sales numbers we've seen, bear out. So I think pricing could be one important differentiator. I just think pricing would be an interesting thing for Google to explore this year around.
Yeah, I think my main counterpoint to that, and if Google is only making phones, and I could maybe see that. I guess I can still see it as a possibility, but the counterpoint to me is that the phone in terms of buzz, in terms of media hype, is probably the number one thing for Google's annual hardware releases now, in 2018. But I think really Google's hardware group as a whole and their hardware products as a whole are a much bigger conversation, a much bigger deal. You know, Google Homes specifically are selling crazy well, to the point where Google is catching up and passing Amazon, and Amazon had a 2-year head start.
Due to their affordability, I want to add, especially with the Home Mini.
Yeah, for sure. The Home Mini is definitely...
And the frequent discounts and bundles and whatnot they're doing.
Right. The Home Mini is definitely contributing to the numbers aspect in terms of numbers or number of units shipped and number of smart devices sitting in homes. The Home Mini is basically being given away for free at this point. So, I can understand that. But I guess to me, it seemed to me out of the last couple of years at this Google hardware event that the phone is a big deal, obviously, and it matters and it's important because, you know, it's Google's been trying to do phones for a decade. But to me, it's like they had the luxury of pricing the phone high and not really shipping. I don't know if really Google's main goal in these first couple years has really been to push units. I don't really think that that's really what they want to do. It seems to me like, I mean, obviously that would be a great benefit. And obviously, you know, for the businesses to be sustainable and for Google to continue investing, they have to sell product. That's obvious. But to me, it seems like they're trying to more so prove that they can make a great phone. If they don't ship that many units, that's fine for now. It seems to me like that's been their attitude for the last couple of years. Maybe that's changing with the third year. Maybe there's internal pressures that Rick is feeling like, I need to ship at least, you know, however many million of these. Yeah. Because the numbers for 2017, which aren't official numbers, we'll never know probably the real numbers. But the numbers for 2017 were pretty depressing. Mm. So yeah, it could be a little bit of both. I don't know. One interesting thing was that one of the Russian review publications. There's absolutely, in my opinion, there's no way they should know this or how. There's no way they could know it, but they did mention supposed price points. I mean, maybe if this publication got their phone from a well-wisher, maybe they would know from this supposed well-wisher.
But otherwise, I see no idea how they would know pricing or the internal roadmap, which was fun.
What did they say? What did they say though? Did they say $649 for the 3 and $749 for the XL? Is that what they said?
Yes, that's what they said.
Yeah, I mean, that would be $100 down. Well, that would be on par with last year's two in versus the three,
yeah,
right?
The two and stays then, the same.
And then the XL would be down $100, which I think, I don't know, maybe that makes more sense. Maybe $100 premium for just having the bigger phone, because everything else is,
yeah,
you know, and identical. $100 premium might make better sense for the,
and depends on whether if what your opinion is, you're getting penalized with a notch. So it's a $100 apology for
penalized.
Yeah, $100. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I think $750 might be a little bit more of an easy sell. Although I've made this argument for the $1,000 iPhone X. I think, you know, when people are buying phones primarily through carriers, you know, the majority, the mass market is carrier mm-hmm. sales. And those price tags in the stores, they don't say $1,000. They say $25 a month or $35 mm-hmm. a month, or in the case of the iPhone 10, upwards of 40 plus. And I think that's how people start. I think that's how most people are looking at phones these days is, you know, it's not about $1,000 versus $800. And that, I think that we get kind of caught up in that narrative because that's how the techie enthusiasts that's how they do see buying phones, you know? Mm. That's how I buy phones. I buy phones unlocked up front. I don't get into any of these carrier plans for a lot of reasons. One of which I don't want to get attached to any carrier. And I like Project Fi too. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why, but I don't do monthly payments. But most people do, and I think for most people, the 25 versus the 35 is not a big deal, and that's the difference between a $600 phone and an $800 phone. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to touch on one thing briefly because of what everything that we've learned this week, and we'll dive into that after this. But what is this event going to look like? What is the phone section of the October 4th made by Google event going to be? Because even Steve Jobs had to acknowledge it with the iPhone 4. So I think he said, "Trust me, you haven't seen this yet," something like that. But we know what these features are, and honestly, what we don't know is like the technical specs of what went into the camera and that sort of thing, like Google's secret sauce, their algorithms, their features. That's what we don't know, but everything else is out there. We've seen the software, the Pixel Launcher looks unchanged from what was introduced at Android P. That was a big topic of focus at last year's event. There doesn't appear to be any new, like last year they announced the song recognition, the passive song recognition. Again, with this early prototype hardware, we haven't seen anything along those lines. So what is that event going to look like? What is that section?
I wouldn't surprise me if they acknowledged it, but I do think that, you know, these days most phones leak. So I feel like a lot of times these companies take the route of just pretending like nothing happened and just, you know, showing off the phone, telling the story, like making the narrative and just pretending like, you know, pretending like it didn't happen at all, mm-hmm. which I could see them doing that, you know, just revealing the phone, you know, and obviously like almost all phone reveals, you know, phone reveals aren't phone reveals anymore. Companies still pretend like they are, but they aren't because everything leaks. So I think that might be the same for Google. I think, you know how last year there was in the presentation in like the calendar event or whatever, it mentioned the Ultra Pixel or something like that.
Pixel, you know, X.
Yeah, I could see something like that. You know, like they can make a joke on the screen or make a joke on stage about, yeah, we know you've seen this or something, but I think they're probably just going to unveil the phone and just run down its features and, you know, whatever, just like they normally would. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think that's one mystery that's still yet to be seen, is that the software on these phones may very well be, an early build, or they could be not release builds. I don't know. For instance, the camera app was a dog food version. And the dog mm-hmm. food version, this is just one example. The camera app is a dog food version on this leaked phone. And the dog food version of that camera app is very different from the current stable camera app on the Pixel 2 XL. And so there are plenty of potential dog food apps that are internal that may not have been on this phone. And there could be lots of software features across the board that we don't know about potentially. Even the build of the OS itself on that phone could be, you know, not reflective of what ships. I don't know. I mean, it could be.
I'm definitely hoping for the supplies. All of us, we obviously want some sort of supplies here, but
yeah,
just in case.
I think one thing that's telling to me, I guess we can talk a little bit about face recognition. So with the notch being as big as it is, people who don't know, you know, a lot of people have been expecting and hoping that there would be a reason for those dual front cameras. Obviously, the first thing that people would, you know, jump to their minds was that maybe Google was doing something similar to what the iPhone 10 did with Face ID. But in one of these reviews that was published, they actually showed some screenshots of the setup process. One, we've never heard anything. I have a few sources who may know, who could possibly know someone who knows something about a facial recognition feature of some kind, or, you know, something. I've not heard a single thing about it. We have anonymous tipsters that, you know, send us tips sometimes. We've never heard anything about a facial recognition feature from them. And then to top it off, the setup process that was shown in some screenshots in one of these reviews, you know, it showed setting up the phone. And if there was a facial feature or facial ID feature or security feature, that's where we would see it. We would see it in the initial setup of the phone. And so since we didn't see it in that setup process, and the fact that we've not heard anything from anyone about it, I don't think it's very likely that there will be anything that we see at the event.
Personally, for me, remarkably disappointing, but I think they do have a new facial recognition feature, and we've seen signs that it's going to be built into the Google app versus just being smart lock. So I hope that this is just an example of Google applying software rather than adding like an IR sensor or something. So hopefully it's good, but as we've seen with the iPhone 10, an IR sensor allows you to see in the dark, and you can't just do that with software, no matter how good it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing we've talked about since the beginning, is that as far as we can tell, these are just two cameras. One of them was wide angle, so it's like, you know, like you said, you can't. If there is some kind of facial security feature, it's definitely a daytime only kind of thing. So,
I don't know.
I feel like that would have to be a system level feature, because, well, it didn't necessarily have to be, but, you know, the fingerprint sensor security is a system level feature. And if Google was working on a facial recognition feature based on the cameras that had the same level of security and could be used in place of the fingerprints. So as you know, Android has APIs for developers to use fingerprint security for their apps. For instance, Robinhood, I think, takes advantage of it, where, you know, you can get into the app by using Pixel imprint. So if there was like face imprint or whatever they would call it, knowing that the fingerprint sensor stuff is all on the system level, then I would note
that Android 9 Pi has biometrics like facial retina. There's now a system level prompt that apps can call forth when they need to authenticate something. So for the end user, it would be the same experience, the same screen every single time. So that could solve it, but at the same time, if it's being built into the Google app or something like that, that's still not system level, as you were saying. So again, we don't know how this works.
Yeah, what else do we learn about? So I guess you can talk a little bit about some other things that we learned in the review. So as we mentioned a lot, there's a dog food version of the Google camera app, which has some new portrait mode features. And then there's also more details on the Pixel Buds.
Yes. Okay, so the camera, it gets a nice redesign. It's almost material theme-esque in how there's no longer a navigation drawer. Users can just swipe on the bottom to switch between modes. So that's, I think that'll make for a nice change. It's definitely easier than top left corner. So that's what it appears to do. And then
it looks like the iPhone.
Everything ends up being that way eventually. And then there's what's really cool is Google Lens suggestions. So from what it seems is happening, there's a toggle in settings called Google Lens suggestions. And if enabled, it seems like when your camera viewfinder is open, Google Lens is always running. Because at the moment, you open a separate, the Google Lens stub app thing. And that's a completely different experience. But if it were completely built into the camera, when users don't have to like actively go into a different mode, this might be a nice way to get Google Lens and its usefulness out into people, into how people actually use their phones and the camera. So that's a nice improvement. And as you mentioned, another thing, the Pixel Buds, the USB-C version of the Pixel Buds that I included in the box. So it doesn't appear that the surface of the buds are touch sensitive in any way, but there will be a control thing, a control toggle on your neck where you can hold and press to bring up assistant and volume controls up and down. So if these Pixel Buds included every single retail unit and just not a thing for countries that require headphones, this is a nice premium and adds to the pricing, to whatever the price ends up being, because you get a good, decent pair of headphones compared to previous years where most people didn't get anything.
Yeah, although we have to note again that this could be only for those jurisdictions where it's required. We don't actually know.
Yeah, but yeah, that's very true.
I guess another thing was, so I did a report this week on some things we're hearing on the two front-facing cameras. So as mentioned before, the two front-facing cameras, as far as we can tell, are not there. Well, there's no facial security feature as of yet that we know of. But we are told about something that Google is pointing to, or something that Google's calling super selfies, which is just hilarious to me. It's like it's Google like kind of giving the middle finger to all of the technophiles in the world. But apparently the two front-facing cameras, it seems to me, based on what the little bit of knowledge we have so far over the last few months and some things I learned the last couple of weeks too, is that these two front-facing cameras are primarily just for really, really good selfies. And we've talked about that a little bit on Alphabet Scoop in recent weeks, but we kind of have a little bit more corroboration on that. And that's why I published this report. That, you know, they're called super selfies apparently, and they're going to be powered by one of the cameras having a wide angle lens. We're told that they kind of have a, you know, a bokeh effect, kind of very similar to a lot of the other phones on the market. But it seems to me that I'm assuming with the combination of having the two cameras and whatever Google's software wizardry or whatever it can do, that we're going to see some of the best front-facing portrait mode selfies that we've probably seen on a phone. That's what I would guess is happening here, or that's what I think is happening here. And then another thing was that apparently the main camera, where we can assume will have various improvements. I'm sure the sensor will be better, and I'm sure Google's constantly working on the AI. Side of things, but apparently there will also be a new visual core chip in the phone, which will do, quote, more than just HDR+. So for those who don't know, the original visual core, which was shipped in the original Pixel, or then the Pixel 2 XL, or the Pixel 2 and 2 XL, it was actually dormant when that phone first launched, so it wasn't even enabled yet, and then it became enabled in Android 8.1, and then Google opened it up to third parties as well. Google actually mentioned in some of their blog posts that chip was, you know, not restricted to just handling HDR situations. There could be other AI-powered situations with copy that it could handle as well. And we're told that this new visual core chip in the new Pixel 3 will take advantage of some of those scenarios. We don't know what they are quite yet, but seems Google's made progress in that area. Mm-hmm. Anything else we have on Pixel 3? As we mentioned, wireless charging was confirmed, so we know the body's not metal, and we got to see that little animation that pops up. So that's a thing. I guess that further, we haven't really talked about this, but that further corroborates the idea that the Pixel stand is a wireless charging stand. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty much it on Pixel 3 stuff for the week. What do you think?
Active Edge is still there. We saw a screenshot confirming that squeezy sides remain. So
that's good. I like it. I like that feature.
Don't touch it whatsoever. But yeah, that is the Pixel 3 XL.
You had some time to check out the new Google Fit this week, didn't you? How did that go?
That was a bit of a surprising announcement. Last week, we heard this rumor about something called Google Coach. I forgot the project name, but Google Coach as something for Wear OS. And on last week's podcast, we speculated whether it was a Google Fit replacement or something different entirely. And this week, we didn't get that answered, but we got a long-awaited redesign to Google Fit. So basically, it gets a Google Material theme. And in terms of the tracking capabilities, it centers itself around the idea of two new goals, move minutes and hard points, which Google says they worked with the World Health Organization and the American Heart Association, I believe, to develop these metrics, which are a better indicator of your health, and it's better than just counting your steps. So in terms of what you need to do to meet them, in my few days of usage, I haven't really had to change anything. I'm meeting those goals at the end of the day. The app is very nice. I don't use a Wear OS. I'm not wearing a Wear OS watch, but the app is fully functional, fully featured on your phone with those regular tracking capabilities. And it's honestly a very clean and a simple app. And I think people will reuse this because they just can install it on their phones and forget about it. So that's a real advantage in a way that if you need to buy in into a Fitbit or a Garmin or something like that, you have to actively wear a new thing on your wrist. But you're, at the end of the day, you're always going to have your phone on you. So hopefully this is something that Google will keep building and that people will adopt and that Google won't leave to languish for a few years in between updates. But I think this is a very good start and that people might and use this.
Yeah, so admittedly, I haven't really been following this development all that closely because I've been caught up in Pixel stuff. But do you know, looking at the Google Coach report from Android Police last week versus what you have currently in Google Fit and the new Google Fit, is there any overlap there in what Android Police was reporting was coming versus what the new Google Fit has? Or is there any overlap at all? Or does it seem like Google Fit is just like a redesigned app and then some of these AI features are coming later?
I'm leaning towards that some of these AI features are coming later. Whereas the interesting thing about Android Police's post was that they said Google Coach is something for Wear OS and there'd be some Android features, but that it was mostly something for these wearables, for these watches. And they touted features like bundled notifications so that you wouldn't be inundated with progress alerts. This is not happening on the current version of Google Fit. I often get back-to-back notifications once I meet a goal or something. So I don't think that's there. Other advanced features like notifying you what to eat and like food logging that Coach is apparently able to touch on, it's not here. to me, this is Google Fit as is, as also released this week. It's just a direct functional update to the last version. There's nothing groundbreaking new. I don't see any AI-powered features. Google didn't really advertise any AI features. They mentioned the word coach in the blog post, but coaching in the blog post, but I don't think this lines up with the report as that described what Google Coach is going to be.
Yeah, I one of the interesting things from this whole announcement, I guess it kind of stuck out to me that these rings, you know, they're good. Now Google's doing two layers of rings. So like before, the rings were based on various different kinds of activity and they were different colors and they would all fill in on a single ring. And then now, as you mentioned, one of the rings is based on, you know, they're all based on recommendations from the American Heart Association and I forgot the other organization. But one of the, so like one of the internal ring, what are the two rings? The internal ring is...
So their movement, the internal ring is called Move Minutes, which is basically getting you to move. And the outer ring is Heart Points, which is basically to have you do more intense activity that gets your heart pumping.
Gotcha. So it's kind of, I mean, that's basically what the iPhone and the Apple Watch do, which is, you know, one of the rings is movement, so to speak. And then the other one is just like you know, higher intensity activity. And then the third one is number of hours or number of times you've stood up in the day or something. Mm-hmm. Does Google Fit in the current version track the number of times you've stood up at all?
No.
Or is it just not doing that at all?
Not doing that at all. I'm not sure a phone could do that properly. I think it needs to be on a wearable. Because like key thing about Fit is it's fully featured on your on a phone. Like you obviously can't do heart rate on a phone, but in terms of the tracking capabilities, it's all phone based. Wearable not needed.
Gotcha, but wearable is obviously an option if you if you want to. Cool. Well, I mean, I'll have to check it out this week and see how it goes for me. I'm really waiting on a good Wear OS watch so that I can, you know, really enjoy it. I'm hoping that the Pixel Watch, like I'm hoping that's part of the story with what they announced at the hardware event, is that there's a Pixel Watch to go along with the Pixel phones, and you know, this new Google Fit is Google's like direct competitor to what Apple's been doing for a few years now. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to see that they've kind of caught up. I'm hoping that, I mean, maybe even more than caught up if some of these Google Coach things come to light or come to fruition, because a lot of those things not even close to what Apple's doing. What other stories we had this week? We had that FCC filing for a Chromecast. That was one thing.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
I think it's just an update to Chromecast because I don't know about you, but I don't know how well the $69 Ultra is selling versus the $35 Chromecast that's often discounted, so it's like $25. I think another cheap Chromecast would do super well for the holiday season, for Black Friday, just buckets and buckets of Chromecast. So I think that's just a direct thing. There appears to be the Bluetooth for a possible remote. So we've had weeks and weeks of rumors of a gaming service and of a streaming gaming service from Google. So maybe that's what the Bluetooth is for, to pair a remote controller.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I can see as the most likely situation. So like... obviously, I mean, it seems to me like with this FCC filing is if this was a brand new Chromecast, like a completely separate thing, then it would have been a different kind of FCC filing, right? Do we know that this filing represents a Chromecast that looks exactly like the 2015 Chromecast,
yes,
right?
So the one image we have, it's more of a diagram actually of the FCC label. And from this image, it's a circular and the text is displayed in a ring, and it looks identical to the current Chromecast and how the current $35 Chromecast with the circular design and with the HDMI port dongling. Gotcha.
Yeah, so I could see this being a situation where some kind of remote, maybe a remote for this Chromecast is launching with a new Chromecast, or a remote that's being launched with some other kind of hardware that Google's announcing that we don't know about. Like you mentioned, they're doing a gaming service. There could be a remote for that that Google's making also compatible with the Chromecast. But I could envision, you know, like them just re-releasing the 2015 Chromecast in new packaging with a new box with a remote in the box and just saying, this is the new Chromecast. It's just got a spec, like maybe not even a spec bump. It's just been updated, and it also comes with a remote. And it's all it's the same price, same hardware, same as it's been. But you know, it's been a while since it got an update, so they're just going to rebrand it, throw a remote in the box, and just ship
it. Especially know what? Sorry, as at I/O, Google took submissions for Android TV developers for that Android TV dongle that we saw from China.
I forgot about that.
No, I don't think those have shipped yet. There's no movement on that, so. I think this is a Chromecast versus an Android TV dongle, but who knows? We haven't gotten an update on that. And yeah, Google is they definitely said that this is developer hardware, isn't mass market, but maybe they have something up their sleeves. Android TV is getting good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a lot of things that could potentially be done on the software side of things. You know, even if the hardware is exactly the same, there's potential, I guess, with the software. In the current Chromecast changes, I don't know what it could be, but it could be there could be some software changes there. But yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm in general just really interested to see what hardware Google has in store for October that we don't know about yet. And then we had Chrome 69 rolling out, it's not rolling out, but it will be rolling out soon with what we think is. So we've seen the material theme roll out across, you know, pretty much all of Google's apps. And from what we can tell, this new design that we've seen already leak, but we've seen it in dev builds, seems to be the material theme for Chrome, right?
Yep. It's very white. I'm using it right now. It's a bit rounded. It's everything is rounded. New tab design. It's clean. It's modern. It's nice. And Chrome is due for a fresh new look, I think, to match everything else with the Google material theme. Briefly, compared to the original material design, the rollout of the Google material theme and material theming is happening so much faster, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think I think we're probably going to see a lot more of these apps just suddenly drop with material redesigns. Chrome's one of them, but also a lot of the, the G Suite apps that we saw. We got little tidbits of looks at the designs at Google Cloud Next. I think we're going to see all those drop. Like for instance, all the Docs, Sheets, Slides, those apps. Yeah. All it would take is just swapping a few colors for white.
Honestly, yeah, that's it.
You just like open the source code and you just do Control F and you just replace with F F F F F F.
Oh, definitely, absolutely.
To make it white, that's pretty much what they need to do.
So yeah, we're expecting Chrome 69 to roll out in early September, and we don't know if it's going to be rolled out immediately or whether it's a server side wait and see thing, but it's coming.
Yeah, and then Sean had his initial review of the Note 9 this week, which I don't really know. I mean, I haven't had a chance to play with the Note 9 yet, but he says that it has really good battery life and good performance and good display.
I want the 10.
All the usual. Yes, I have to say I'm a big fan of this blue and yellow type thing this design. It's really, really, really awesome.
I just want it. It looks cool. Maybe as a Bluetooth remote, a one function Bluetooth remote. I don't know. I can't put it on a keychain, but I want that as an object.
Yeah, I really like the design of I'm hoping that
Google does colors.
Yeah, basically. I'm hoping that Google does some really good, cool colors with the Pixel 3 XL. Actually, I'm gonna drop a little bit of something that I heard. I heard that there's a red Pixel 3.
Pixel 3?
Yeah, I've heard that there's a red Pixel 3. So you heard it first on Alphabet Scoop. If you're one of our dedicated listeners that's at the end of a one-hour podcast, you heard it here first.
Is it red or is it coral?
Coral. Coral slash red. I don't know. I think, you know, it's the same to me. It's just color of my shirt, whatever. But I've heard there's a red Pixel 3. And I've heard that there was, I mentioned this last year. So like right before the Pixel 2 XL event, I tweeted out, like, I heard there's a red Pixel 2 in the works. It might be a Verizon exclusive or something like that. You know, Verizon's a red carrier or whatever. And I heard that I heard again, corroborated that that is indeed, like, that was true, that there was a red Pixel 2 that was done from, I heard that from a second person now. And it wasn't released for whatever reason. But I've heard there's a red Pixel 3. And like I said last year, was that I don't know if it's going to happen, but Google has, there's a red Pixel 3 internally somewhere sitting on a desk.
I hope that's a thing. I really do.
Me too. Actually, at the top of the show, we were talking about things we don't know. And that's one of the things we don't know. We've only seen the white and the black Pixel 3 XLs.
Yeah.
And, you know, for all we know, there could be four colors. You're there, you know, so I don't know. It would be cool if there's a, I'm really hoping for red this year, because
what's the joke about the blue color? The original Pixel is very blue.
Yeah. So we had. Wait, wasn't it really blue? Was it really?
Yeah. For the first one.
Really blue for the first one. The second one was
white.
White. What was it? No. It was barely blue or something like that. What was it? This is gonna bug me.
Let's see. Kind of blue.
There you go. Yeah, kind of blue. And then my joke was that maybe the red one this year will be called not blue.
Oh, I hope.
Yeah.
I don't care what it's called as long as I get the red phone.
Yes. And the other thing that happened this week was pre-orders for the JBL Link Bar. So speaking of I/O, we were just talking about the Android TV dongle, the dev dongle from I/O. JBL Link Bar, around the time of I/O, we got our first look at that hardware, which is a weird combination of Android TV and Google Home. Not weird, actually awesome. And it's a sound bar for your TV. Has a bunch of HDMI pass-through ports. So it went up for pre-order at $399. It will be shipping in October. So I definitely want to be the person to review that. So dibs.
Yeah, it's a cool, quirky device, I think.
Yeah, I'm hoping we see more of these kind of devices that, you know, blur the lines between what's a Google Home and what's Android TV and what's, I don't know, like another perfect example of this is I talked about last week of how the Pixel Stand could potentially, there could be some software on the Pixel 3 that would, you know, make the Pixel 3 a Google Home. So we could blur these lines even further of, like, you know, let's just call it Google OS and just, you know, let's turn it into this big, everything just runs one operating system and it's all, there's absolutely no way to distinguish between what's what. I don't know. I think that would be, we could go down a fuchsia rabbit trail if we want to. But yeah, the lines are being blurred and I'm hoping they blur even more. And then do we have any app updates this week that were notable at all? Or
anyway,
not really.
Nope. It was a Pixel 3 XL week.
It was.
And it's only going to get more.
Yeah. I mentioned this in my report on the Ukrainian black market dealer, but I'm very, very confident that this black market dealer has sold phones to many, many additional publications that we haven't heard from yet and that haven't maybe received the device yet. And I've even heard that some that are actually United States based have picked up phones. So obviously the legality of that is dubious, but We're going to definitely see a lot more leaks in the coming weeks and a lot more to talk about in the coming weeks, hopefully on the software side of things, as more and more leaks out about Google's upcoming phones. One thing I guess I'm hoping for is that we'll see more of the other hardware. I want to see the Pixel Watch. I want to see the Pixel Slate or whatever they call that thing. There's lots of hardware to be excited for.
I'd settle for seeing what the Pixel 3 is. What is that small phone doing? Where is it?
Yeah, that's true. I want to see the Pixel 3 too. So hopefully we will in the next couple of weeks. But I think that's pretty much the show. Until then, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop every week. We record this podcast every Friday and publish every Saturday morning. And you can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms such as iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, and you can even listen over at 95google.com. I wanted to just really quickly apologize to anyone that was watching live and had that little yes. blip where Abner lost connection. We're really sorry about that.
It was a kind of panic.
Yeah, sometimes you just can't avoid it. But thanks as always, everyone, for tuning in. And thanks to Abner again for joining me. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.